Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Klemperer should receive the gratitude of all music lovers for his devoted and eloquent performance of Bruckner's seldom-heard Symphony No. 9. That symphony which is sometimes known as the Unfinished. For Bruckner died before he could complete his sketches for the finale, leaving us only the three movements that we have heard today. All of us who would like to be just to a famous composer should welcome every chance to hear the symphonies of Bruckner, that strange and much maligned genius. For one can hope to be just to an artist only by seizing every opportunity to know his work. Anton Bruckner died at Vienna 38 years ago, yet his music is still an issue with many musicians and music lovers. His life spanned almost three quarters of the 19th century. He was born while Beethoven and Schubert were still alive. He was 9 years older than Brahms, against whom he was foolishly opposed by certain of his unwise adherents. And he was 11 years younger than Wagner, whom he adored. He began his so-called first symphony in the year of the production of Tristan und Isolde, and he dropped his pen while Richard Strauss was sketching Till Eulenspiegel. Thus, his work belonged to the period during which musical romanticism attained its noon, and Bruckner's eyes caught something of that meridian light. He was a patient, humble, sensitive, naive, and pitiable soul. He dedicated his second symphony to Franz Liszt, his third to Master Richard Wagner in deepest reverence, his sixth to his landlord, though he afterwards annulled this, his seventh to the King of Bavaria, his eighth to the Emperor of Austria, and he intended to dedicate his ninth to the dear Lord, as he phrased it. With the exception of Wagner, he was perhaps the best-hated composer of the 19th century. What has not been said of his music by those who disliked it? Especially in Vienna, during his lifetime, he was abused as if he had been a pickpocket, persecuted with a venom that knew no bounds. In America, he has never received his due. We have covered him with praise or with ridicule. But we have not, on the whole, been just to him. His music has been a red rag to many, and no symphony by Bruckner is ever performed without being greeted by protests from those who can find little to admire in his music. On the other hand, Bruckner is unfortunate in many of his partisans, for whom every note in his scores is regarded as a product of the purest inspiration. The for and the against are both possible, remarked Montaigne, with his unfailing sagacity. And the for and the against are both possible in the case of Bruckner, as in the case of almost all creative artists, even the greatest. But there is more to be cherished in Bruckner than to be deplored. There are marvelous pages in these vast, uneven scores of his. Hearing them, we realize, as we must often have done this afternoon, how deep his feeling can be, how piercing his vision of supermundane things, how lofty a beauty he could summon to his measures, how blazing a splendor touches the pinnacles of certain towering movements in his symphonies. He holds and stirs us in a way peculiar to himself, when we listen to such things as the dirge in the Seventh Symphony, the slow movement of the Eighth, the closing pages of the Adagio of the Ninth, which we have just heard, music of a valedictory tenderness, full of the sense of reconciliation and appeasement, tranquil, not of this world, music that searches the very heart of beauty. This Ninth Symphony of Bruckner's has a strange and touching history. Bruckner began the composition of the score in the summer of 1887, immediately after he had completed his scoring of the colossal No. 8. but he suspended work upon the night and became engrossed in the revision of its predecessor and of number one. 4 years later, he resumed work upon the night. On September 4th, 1894, Bruckner reached his 70th birthday. He celebrated the day in bed. He was an ill man, suffering from dropsy and accompanying heart trouble. In the following month, he said to a visitor, "I have done my duty on earth. I have accomplished what I could, and my only wish is to be allowed to complete my ninth symphony. The Adagio, the third movement, is nearly finished. There remains only the finale. I trust death will not deprive me of my pen." But death proved indifferent to Bruckner's hopes. The pen of the aging composer was taken from his hand as he worked on the sketches for the finale of his symphony. And all that we have of it are the first movement, the scherzo, and the noble, exalted adagio, music of an unforgettable solemnity and elevation, and in its closing pages, of a beauty transfigured and serene, as if Bruckner's eyes had already been unsealed before the hovering mystery and had told him that all was finally well with him. He completed the Adagio on the 31st of October, 1894, but he could not fashion the last movement to his satisfaction. He was still busy over the sketches for the finale on the morning of the day that he died, October 11th, 1896. The sketches that he left give only an imperfect idea of his intentions. Bruckner is said to have remarked to friends that if the three completed movements of the symphony were performed after his death, his Te Deum might serve as finale to the unfinished symphony. This suggestion was adopted when the symphony was performed for the first time at Vienna, under the direction of Ferdinand Werder.